This podcast is produced in part by Podfly.net. Podfly, passion for great sounding podcasts.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of Overseas Radio Network or broadcast partners. All information provided is for educational purposes only. Before taking action, consult a licensed professional.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
Coming up on today's Columbia Calling, we'll be talking to Tara Days, a Briton following a master's here in Columbia. We often hear about Colombians or Latinos going overseas to the US, the UK, Canada, Australia and wherever to study abroad, to study English. But how often do we hear of foreigners coming to Columbia to study at university, you know, to study something that's not a language? So we'll be talking to Tara Days, who's studying for a master's in journalism. We'll be asking about how the education levels, if they meet her expectations. We'll be talking about what the move to Bogota was like and anything else, and anecdotal information that anything that comes up. So, you know, tune in if you're interested in hearing about the education system in Colombia. Later, with me, your host, Richard McCall, on Columbia Calling.
The world is a beautiful place, so listen up. The Overseas Radio Network.
We know you want to grow your business and directly engage your customers and clientele. Podcasting is the way to go, and Podfly has your solution. Whether you're a blogger, writer, business owner, entrepreneur, or service provider, Podfly makes it easy for anyone to have a professionally produced and distributed podcast. Get started today at podfly.net, and let's get your message truly heard. Podfly.net, passion for great sounding podcasts.
Ready to learn about a new life overseas? You're at the right place. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
It's that time of the week again, folks, and this is Columbia Calling with me, your host, Richard McCall. I'm back in Bogota. I've been away for 2 months in Mompox. I'm now back in the big smoke, but not for too long, thankfully. After 2 months of running my hotel, La Casa Maria, through the high seasons there in Mompox, and it's been the highest high season, tourist season, that I've ever seen in 6 years of running the hotel over December and January. I'm back here in the big smoke. Anyway, we'll be going off on holiday to Brazil. 10 days in Brazil, just switching off the cell phone, hitting the beaches, and just, you know, yeah. I'm going to be so laid back, I'm going to be positively horizontal. But before I go off, I'll be leaving you with these a couple of shows, and I'm doing some interviews. We've got some interesting people in the pipeline for forthcoming shows. In today's show, we're going to be talking to Tara Days, who's a British trainee journalist studying for a master's here in Colombia. So we're going to take the opportunity to talk about what it's like to study as a foreigner, you know, as a non-Latina, as a non-Hispanic person, in one of Colombia's most prestigious universities, in one of Bogota's most prestigious universities, that's Los Andes. So we're going to be talking with her later on in this show, and then next week we've got an interview lined up with Kira Gurney, who's a journalist and sort of, you know, Colombia enthusiast from New Mexico. And we'll be talking to her about all sorts of things, and principally her articles and her life here in Colombia and what it took to, you know, make a success of her time. But that will be very interesting. And then after that, you know, just to show you that I'm incredibly well organized, we'll be talking to the director of the NGO War Child Colombia. So that's someone who, you know, works with lower income children displaced by the violence, children in great deal of poverty here in Colombia. So we'll be talking about, you know, what's going on in Colombia regarding this situation. So we've got some very interesting shows in the pipeline for you. Today is with Tara Days, a Briton studying for a master's here in Colombia. So you will hear all about that and the bureaucracy and so on and so forth, and the bureaucracy, which we always talk about, but I think it's something that we can't accept accentuate enough because Colombia loves its paperwork. What else can I tell you right now? Well, I got the Petro saga, the Bogota mayor saga, continues to roll on and roll on and roll on. In fact, it's such a soap opera. Sometimes I don't know what to believe, you know, what's fiction and what's not. I'd studied for a master's, diploma in conflict resolutions last year at the Javeriana University here in Bogota. And one of my teachers was a former guerrilla by the name of Jose Cuesta. Jose Cuesta was a guerrilla in the M19 group, the very same group that Gustavo Petro belonged to. And Jose Cuesta, he was active. He was very active, and he's still very politically active. In fact, he has been elected to office, and he has worked for the alcaldía in representing minorities, a lot of transsexuals, minorities in terms of gender, in terms of race, and so on. Anyway, he's been out there in the Plaza de Bolívar since the destitution of Petro back in December. He's been out there rallying the masses, organizing the marches. He's always there to rent a quote almost. He's a soundbite person to get out there. He's a very, very educated, very erudite gentleman. He's one of the best teachers I've ever had. And I learned the other day, sadly, that he's now been, he's been receiving death threats for his involvement in organizing the marches and the outrage. And I just think, aren't we all entitled to a political opinion? Aren't we all entitled to a variation in our beliefs? Isn't that a multicultural society that we're trying to promote? And of course, that's one of the very strong bases upon which Petro has tried to build his administration, the Bogota Humana. Everybody is accepted. Everybody belongs here. It's a whole, let's say, push for the apropiación, the belonging in Bogota, which for so long has been absent. And so Jose Cuesta, you might like him, you might loathe him, but he represents a voice. You might not like him for being very left-wing, just as we don't like, or someone might not like someone for being incredibly right-wing, but they're allowed to have a voice. And until we can get past this in Colombia, where people receive death threats just for a political opinion, we can't progress. So it's very important. It's very important that we support the legal democratic process in Colombia. And I think this is something that we're going to explore more on Colombia Calling as we continue into the year, because I think these legal processes are going to roll on and roll on. I don't think we're going to see the end of them in 2014, and in particular that it is an election year. I tried to get into Bogota in my car from Mompos just the other day. My car broke down. I was stuck in the town of San Fernando. It's a small town, only 20 kilometers away from Mompos. I was stuck in a town with no water, essentially no shade. It was about 40 degrees. I had to wait there, and then we got back to Mompos. So we decided to leave the next day to try and get to Barranquilla. And the whole way in was fraught with disaster. I mean, there was then a protest on the road to get to the ferry because the town of La Rinconada, another isolated town with no state presence, hadn't had running water in 3 months. So, of course, they have every right to demonstrate and block the road, in my opinion. Anyway, so we had to do a round-the-way trip to get out to Magangay, and Magangay wait for a car. As we got on the highway to Barranquilla, a refrigerator lorry exploded in front of us. You can see my blog at richardmccall.com. All the photos are there. You just see, as we pass through all of these towns, the isolation, the lack of state presence, the buying of votes. I mean, the whole countryside is now awash. It's colourful in a way that it shouldn't be, because it's been painted and papered over with election promises and campaign slogans. The Cambio Radical, the Partido Conservador, Centro Democrático, which is the Uribe party. I mean, they're painting everything up, and of course now everything is about politics in 2014. We're not going to get away with it. So Colombia Calling will be in it too. We're going to be following it. We're going to be talking about it. And we're going to be explaining it to the expat crowd and explaining it to the people out there overseas listening to it, Colombians overseas as well, who want to hear an independent voice talking about what's going on in Colombia. You can always check us out at www.columbiacallingradio.com. That's our website with a list of all the past shows and my editorial column in the city paper in Bogota. You can see my blog, as I already mentioned, richardmccall.com. Follow us on Twitter at Columbia Calling or at Casa Amaria. Check out my hotel. This is Columbia Calling. We're going to be talking this year all about Colombia's politics. And so don't go away. We'll be talking to Tara Days coming up, Columbia Calling, here from Bogota. Thank you very much.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Okay, you're not stupid. You see the handwriting on the wall. You're thinking about joining the millions of Americans who have already left the country. But where do you go? You don't want to make the mistake of jumping from the frying pan into the fire. You need accurate info to make one of the most important decisions of your life. You need EscapeTheUSANow.com. You don't want to have regrets because your expat country collapsed due to crime, conflict, disease, famine, natural disaster, scarcity, war, or a government gone bad. Only at EscapeTheUSANow.com will you discover the handful of countries that offer true freedoms and unbelievable opportunities that most people could only dream of. EscapeTheUSANow.com is the information you cannot afford not to have. Information that took over 30 years to research, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars, with more than a quarter of a million miles traveled. For less than $2.50 per month, you can have what may be the most life-saving information you have ever obtained. EscapeTheUSANow.com, so you don't jump from the frying pan into the fire.
Have you always dreamed of living abroad, but you are afraid it might be difficult? JustLanded.com helps you make the move. The free information on JustLanded.com helps you get a job, find a house, and a good school for your children. You can also meet other expats in our online community. Visit www.justlanded.com and find out how easy it is to live your dream abroad. That's justlanded.com.
You've got questions about Colombia, and Escape Artist has answers. Is Colombia a good fit for me and my plans? How do I buy a house? Find a job? Find a doctor? Start a business, invest in real estate. What should I know to better appreciate its history, its culture, its opportunities? What is it really like to be an expat in Colombia? You'll find your answers at colombia.escapeartist.com, your complete and trusted guide for living, working, playing, investing, and retiring in Colombia. That's colombia.escapeartist.com.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
And we're back. As I said, we're here with Tara Days, who's a trainee journalist. Well, she's a journalist because she's been published, but she's a trainee journalist because she's studying in the very prestigious university here of Los Andes. That's Los Andes, Bogota. It's like the Harvard or the Oxford here in Bogota. Tara is originally from Norwich, that's in East Anglia, so it's a section on the sort of eastern edge of England, not quite in the north, not quite in the south, sort of just there. And she studied at the University of Bradford. So welcome on the show, Tara.
Thank you, Richard.
You're very welcome. Tara, you moved to Colombia 6 months ago.
Yep.
Why? Yes.
The main reason would be my husband.
The main reason would be your husband. Your husband is Colombian.
Yes.
Oh, very nice.
So I was interested always before we even met in learning Spanish and travelling. And that was my main excuse, basically.
Main excuse. Well, anyway, this is a good thing. You're married to Rafael, and you're living here. You're settled. You've got the apartment, the cat.
Yes.
But I want to know more about the journalism studies, because we want to talk, to our listeners out there about what it's like to study in Colombia, and in particular at such a highly recommended
yes.
university such as Los Andes. What has it? I mean, in terms of your expectations, studying journalism at Los Andes in Spanish.
Yes.
How's it been?
Oh my goodness. Well, first of all, I don't think I'm necessarily qualified to talk about how it is for everyone, because I've just done two modules of a master's, which have gone really well. The interesting thing about my master's that I'm doing is, I mean, it's only been around for about 3 years, so it's not a long-established course, even though the university is obviously really well-recognised. But everyone on the course comes from any other discipline than journalism, so we've got doctors, lawyers, publicists, biologists, just to name a few,
and you,
anthropologists.
You studied your undergraduate in what?
Well, the name is Interdisciplinary Human Studies.
Well, I don't know what that is.
It's sociology, philosophy, psychology, and literature.
Which
all mixed together, yeah.
Perfectly for journalism, because it gives you a strong background in other things. But, of course, the course must be enriched by the fact you're studying with doctors and people with professions, too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's, I have no idea what it would be like to study with just journalists. But it's really good because everyone can give a completely different perspective. Because, I mean, people are really... Can I say their careers give way to their manner of thinking?
Yeah, no. So their career onto it. I mean, so it sounds like an incredibly professional course. I mean, if you've got these people with such, you know, such intense backgrounds. I mean, they've got to be aiming towards being, you know, proper highbrow journalists, as I go, or just learning about the trade.
Yeah, I mean that's I think the hope of everyone. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, obviously. There's a lot of hard truths to take into account when you're studying journalism these days.
Yeah, well.
The industry might be slightly in a period of change.
Yeah, it's not...
Not to say decline, but they sort of warn you, okay, you have to do this because you love it, and if you want to have any spare time or any money, then you might want to be looking somewhere else, basically, is sort of the underlying message alongside, please give... every ounce of your soul into your work.
it makes perfect sense. One of the first things they told us when I did the master's back in London in journalism is that don't get in a relationship ever with a journalist because you'll never see each other. But then they would also say, but if you want to have a relationship that lasts, only get involved with the journalist because you'll understand one another's lifestyle. But then I think we all move into different areas.
And anyway, that for me, I suppose, is hopefully the life of a kind of hard news journalist, which isn't really what I'm hoping to get into afterwards either.
What are you hoping to get into?
More like features and sort of more long stories, cultural issues, rather than sort of car crashes and all the rest of it.
Well, you don't make any money on the news desk anyway, so you make a little bit more in features and long. But tell me something in terms of that and what you hope to be aiming for, Tara. Is this course, you know, are you benefiting from the course? Is it giving you the kind of background that you hope and the kind of foundation?
I mean, I came in knowing nothing because I didn't study anything journalism related before. Starting 6 months ago, so everything I've learned, which is a lot, has been building blocks to hopefully being able to come out of it a professional with good skills.
Okay. Well, for obviously. And are there any... I mean, listen, when I studied journalism, we had to do an ethics course and a legal course about it and sort of... We learnt about the media and, of course, the media empires, because, of course, that's now what drives journalism as well. We did have to learn about advertising, and then there was a course in news reporting and a course in feature writing and a course in radio, but it was I only did a minor in radio, given that I'm seated here behind a computer and a microphone. But what kind of courses are offered at Los Andes in journalism?
The course structure, actually, all of the modules are compulsory, just up to you which order you do them in. The first semester I did history of journalism, which actually focused quite a lot on the genre of... Chronica.
What
that would be in English. I think chronicle, but there's not really any sort of strong equivalent, I don't think. It's sort of a mix between factual and literary description in a way. Along with sort of a detailed history of the Colombian media, which is fascinating.
and does it
enraging in some points?
Did you link it at all to the Santos family, the guy who's in charge at the moment?
Well, that's a whole other... In the other module that we had, we actually went to Palacio.
Really?
I mean, our finished pieces for that particular module are top secret, so no one's allowed to read them.
Really?
But we had to write profiles on people that work in the press office of the government.
Ooh.
So we had to speak to them, interview their family, colleagues, friends.
Okay, that sounds very interesting.
With two tours around the head of government's offices.
That's very good.
Yeah, so that's the kind of thing that you might not necessarily get in another university,
well,
I guess.
We wouldn't have got that back at City.
Yeah.
No, we didn't get that.
I never expected to be there. But I think that's another thing that, for me, maybe it means slightly less than other people who are from here,
mm-hmm.
that never expected in a million years to be walking around and talking to the people that they were. Whereas I'd never even heard of these places until a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and possibly didn't really recognise the people that you were interviewing and their importance.
Well,
but
there was a bit of a, do you know who I am?
And who was that? Who did
kind
you...
Kind of, well, I wouldn't want to say.
You didn't put your foot in it with the president, did you?
I didn't, I didn't get as far as him.
Just his wife?
No, I didn't meet his wife, but I met... some of his right-hand people.
Okay. So let's say that you put your foot in it with the vice president, but we're just supposing. We're not going to find out.
Just for factuality, let's just not call that quite correct.
All right.
But,
okay.
Yes.
All right. So it's good, but it's good. It's good to keep these people remembering that they're human too. You know, that beyond Columbia.
I don't think it worked.
Okay, that wasn't the aim,
no,
was it?
No, they were like, let's get this little student girl out. Say goodbye.
And tell me another thing. How's it been going for you doing this master's in Spanish?
Luckily, I think I adapted quite quickly. Because
mm-hmm.
my Spanish, I mean, when I speak to people here, they say, oh, your Spanish is good. And I'm like, well, I hope after 8 years of studying, like, whatever, I'll be good at it. So... my level, I can understand pretty much everything everyone says, it's just I miss a bit of context.
Uh-huh.
If that makes sense, because I don't know all the names of the places and the people and the historical events.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously reading and writing takes me a bit longer.
Sure.
But I kept up. In terms of grades, I was sort of more or less the same as everyone else.
Really? And your written Spanish is fine for journalism?
Well, I have a proofreader.
Well, yes. You're seated just over there. But for those of you listening, because of course you've got no eyes onto the studio, her husband Raphael is over on the sofa making sure that we don't say anything untoward. But that's fine. But you've got the best proofreader. That's fantastic.
The interesting point I would like to say about that is, even though I'm sure the quality of Spanish in my handed-in work was the same as anyone else's,
mm-hmm.
in terms of grammar and everything, there were still a couple of teachers that sort of made a point of saying, oh, yes, well, you know, you had a few problems with your Spanish. Even though, I mean, they didn't know it should be as good as anyone else's. I think just because it didn't occur to them to not say it, because they have it right in the forefront of their mind that I'm not from here.
But you are the only foreigner on the course.
There's another girl who's from the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, but...
so she's native.
Yeah, she's native speaker, so. just not from Colombia.
Yeah.
This is something we're going to come back to in the second segment, because I think that there's something here. There's something here we want to talk about, but not being from Colombia. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McColl, talking to Tara Days, a journalist here, and from England, training in Colombia. We'll be right back.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
This is Jason Hartman, and I want to welcome you to the Jet Setter Show blogcast, an audio version of our written blog at jetsettershow.com. You can find the full-length podcast at jetsettershow.com or on iTunes, where we interview thought leaders and experts on exploring lifestyle-friendly destinations worldwide. Here is today's blogcast.
Thank you, Jason. Going to Vegas to blow a little trust fund money, huh? That's okay, no crime in that. But what would it be worth to you to get the inside skinny on your best chances to walk out with the shirt on your back? Nothing? Okay. Well, we're going to tell you anyway. Craps and Baccarat are the best chances for success in a Vegas casino. They take the smallest percentage and are easiest to play. Blackjack is okay if you have a sharp eye and good memory. Your worst bets are Keno, Roulette, and the slot machines. Okay, ready to roll, right? Please, we're just getting started. We haven't even reached the important part yet. No matter how thick your Jet Setter credit card is, go in with a game plan. Know in advance when you're going to draw the line at losses and at what point you'll throw in the towel. Entering a casino with an open-minded loss target is a recipe for disaster. People that do that are the reason we have organizations like Gamblers Anonymous. Don't be the next guy to have to stand up and say, "Hello, my name is Derek, and I'm a gambling addict." Don't chase money or you're a goner for sure. Never risk more than 1% of your stake on a single bet, and only up bets that you're ahead on. Likewise, don't lose your mind to euphoria. You have to be very, very smart and disciplined to walk out of a casino with a profit. These guys aren't pikers. They've been calculating odds and taking suckers for a while now. If you hit a small winning streak with a certain dealer, say $100, but have given back $20 of the profit, take a breath, close up shop, and walk away. Find another table, eat a lobster dinner, whatever you do, take a break before continuing. And the last Jet Setter in Vegas rule is to pass up free drinks unless you want to leave a loser. Do you think they offer them out of their concern that you might be thirsty? Wrong. They wouldn't do it if it wasn't profitable. What does alcohol do? Altogether, boys and girls, it lowers inhibitions and turns normally sane individuals into gambling idiots, and the casino wins. Good night, and thanks for coming. For more, visit JetSetterShow.com. For the Jet Setter Blogcast, I'm Will Weeks.
Thanks for listening to this audio blog, and please see disclaimers and important information at the website.
This is Kathleen Petticord and Leif Simon with the Live and Invest Overseas Minute on the Overseas Radio Network. If your plan is to move to another country full-time, then one of the most important things to research is the available options for obtaining a foreign residency visa there. Not all countries make it easy to establish permanent legal foreign residency. Meantime, others roll out the welcome mat for foreign retirees, offering many good options for how to become a full-time resident and even in some cases take advantage of special tax and other savings depending on your residency status.
You can generally avoid the issue of establishing foreign residency altogether by spending fewer than 3 months in any one country annually. In some countries, you can remain in the country as a tourist for only 2 months, while other places allow you as much as 6 months.
The most foreign retiree-friendly countries right now include Panama, Belize, Uruguay, Ecuador, Nicaragua, and in Malaysia, which is the only country in Asia that offers a straightforward residency option for foreign retirees. For more information on making the leap overseas, visit us online at liveandinvestoverseas.com.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCollum. We're here talking about, you know, being a foreigner, studying in a foreign land. So it's like we're talking to Tara Days, who is an English girl now studying at Los Andes, the Oxford of Colombia. She's studying in Bogota. She's studying a master's in journalism. And we've been talking about, writing in Spanish. Of course, you know, she has to write her articles in Spanish. The course is in Spanish. She's been learning about Colombian journalism and the history of journalism. But we were just moving on to a subject about sort of, you know, Tara, you mentioned that you had a couple of teachers who just couldn't help themselves but say, oh, yeah, there were a few problems with your Spanish because obviously it's not your first language, you know. I think that I'm going to raise something here. I think that Colombia, having been divorced from sort of international visitors and students for so long, has that very much in the fore of the forefront of the mind when they're talking. You know, so yeah, you're not from here, you don't know how it is. I get this a lot, but tell me your experience in this one.
As far as my course mates go, completely welcoming. Mm-hmm. I mean, it hasn't really gone beyond being course mates. Mm-hmm. But you know, I feel if I want to ask anything, they'll help me. They'll explain. So that's been really open. Mm-hmm. And the teachers sort of occasionally stop to say, oh, such and such a person was the one who did this.
Yeah.
Sort of instead of just listing a long list of names that they expect people to know what you're talking about. That's a good thing about having smaller class sizes, I think, because all of our lectures are sort of between 9 and 15, more or less. So
that's pretty good.
Enough sort of chance to more or less get a, like, they know your face, you can have a bit of interaction.
But they're always going to know who you are as the foreign girl, as the other foreign girl.
Also, because when everyone has a go around and introduce themselves, I say, hi, I'm English, and...
yeah. That's your first your first port of call, obviously.
Yeah, so people don't look at me funny.
But I think it's helpful, though, obviously, that they list it. If they're saying, okay, yes, this was something that was implemented in the era of Rojas Pinilla or something like that, and then say, oh, this was, you know, the
great...
Oh,
so that's a who?
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. I mean, I just finished a specialism in conflict resolutions last year, and I was expected to know some of these things, and would kind of lean over to the person and say, who's that? You know, it's like, but yeah. Because it was just so in depth. But then the course was very international, and the Colombians didn't.
No,
and
you weren't the only Colombian.
I wasn't. It was me, myself, and Alison. Yes, but there weren't. But people didn't know. People didn't know what was going on in the Sudan, which, of course, those of us from the UK did know because it's in our sphere of influence. But I did get a feeling, and I do have a feeling, having had the business in Monpos and being working here in Bogota, there's a lot of reaction. You're not from here. You don't know how it is. And I don't know. You mean that you sort of were touching on that with the whole language thing, but maybe not. Maybe a little bit. I don't know.
I think it depends. Like strangers on the street, if they like not necessarily from the beginning, they don't necessarily realise that I'm not from here. Sometimes because my Spanish is quite good. But then if it gets into a bit of a longer conversation with people I still don't really know very well, then it's just, oh, do you like it? What's Colombia like? They don't really sort of try and push me out as much as try and make me say that I really love Colombia.
Well, I understand. I mean, just something has been playing on my mind because the person I interviewed last week was Tim Buendia, the Dutchman of Aracataca, the birthplace of Gabriel Garcia Marquez, has more or less been forced out of Aracataca. And
really?
He has, you know, he's been waging a campaign to improve tourism to this tiny town. The people are happy with him, but the politicians aren't. Because, of course, he's drawn, you know, he's shed a light on a corrupt system and everything. And the first thing this politician, one politician in note, always says, this one who's based there in Santa Marta, in the capital of the Magdalena department, where Aracataca is located, is, Tim is a foreigner, he's not Colombian, he doesn't know how things are done. And I just think, this is a man who's working for Colombia.
Shooting themselves in the foot.
Shooting themselves
completely.
So I digress a little bit, but I was trying to get onto
that. That does kind of lead to my feelings that, I mean, technically I'm in Colombia, but I would say I just live in Bogota and I've been to Colombia a few times. Because I'm sure it's a world removed from the rest. I mean, Bogota is...
It's not the same. Well, it's true.
It's not the same as anywhere. I mean, I haven't been to Medellin or Cali or any other big city like that, but I mean, it's a different climate, it's a different culture.
Well, that's the thing, the difference between rural Colombia and urban Colombia is just night and day. Like, my travels back from Monpos just recently, which took a taxi to a ferry, from a taxi to a ferry, to a taxi to a boat, to a taxi, to an aeroplane. You know, passing.
Are you joking?
Yeah, no, that's what we did.
Right.
And that was just to get out of one tiny region because there was a demonstration taking place, and then there was a car burning on the road, and then there was traffic, and then there were cattle crossing the roads at some points, and there's unpaved road. But yeah, no, rural Colombia. And why were the people demonstrating? Because for 3 months they haven't had water. Well, they have the right to demonstrate.
Fair enough.
So therefore, you know, the difference between rural Colombia and urban Colombia is stark. It's blatant. Yeah. But you've travelled a little bit in Colombia. You've travelled a little bit around. You've gone here and there. You've come back and forth because
family
you're
road trips.
Family road trips. That's just nice. We're jumping onto something I want to jump on. How is it? You know, Let's say something. Let's be frank. It's not too many foreign women married to Colombian men. You're going to find more foreign men married to Colombian women. So you've been placed in an opposite sort of situation. How's this working?
How's this working? Well, the person I didn't marry because he was Colombian, just because of who he was.
Perfect. Very good.
The Colombian factor. For the sake of radio, let's call it an added benefit.
There we go. That's what I like to hear. Let's go back. I don't know Rafael. I just met him for the first time today. But Colombia is a machismo society. And you come from a more liberated society, let's say.
Specifically liberal-type family within that society.
Specifically, your parents hippies, Tara?
Very much so.
There you go. I'm just going to jump onto that point. Tara's name is Tara Kia, and if she took her husband's surname, it would be Tara Kia Santa Maria.
Which is a beautiful rhyming name.
So she's not taken it for the time being. But no, so how does that affect you as being sort of like a bit more, let's say, gregarious in a machismo society?
Within the society? I mean, I feel like I'm still establishing myself socially, if that makes sense. So, in a certain respect, all the people that I meet in a social sense are kind of more educated, kind of level of people, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
And therefore, very gentlemanly.
Okay.
More than trying to use me for something. Yeah. So, overall, I would say the Colombian men that I have social contact with are all very much, much more gentlemanly than the British friends I have,
this is very good to hear, because it's something that obviously would be, it is a concern, and if we talk to other people, maybe they say something different, or maybe they say the same thing as you, but...
Yeah. I mean, the point that it goes to the further extreme still shows there's a difference in the way that someone sees you, because it's sort of like opening the door every time, or like, I don't know... That's just a basic example. It's like, I can walk through the door too. Thank you.
That's nice, though. Yeah. It's nice. It's nice to have this recognition, though, of having the door open
and
stuff. I mean, come on. It's courteous.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't say I've had any bad experiences other than that leery taxi driver, which you could get anywhere.
Yeah, taxi drivers. I don't want to get talking about them.
Next on the list.
Yeah, drives me insane, taxi drivers in Bogota. Anyway, but you're finding life is comfortable here in Bogota. You haven't been confronted with the machismo males. You haven't,
No, I'm very well looked after.
You're very well looked after. Yes, well, that's good.
I realise I'm a really privileged person here, because when you walk in the street and you see a lot of people that have a lot more needs, I don't want for anything. Basically.
Yeah, well, this is fantastic to hear.
Yeah,
and let me say a little something. And now, so you marry a Colombian, you marry into the Colombian family.
Mm-hmm.
This is something I've learnt. Very much so over the last we've been together for many years, but we've only been married for 2 years. You inherit the whole thing. I mean, there are uncles and aunts and everyone. I mean, how has this been for you? Do you come from a big family back in the UK?
Not at all. No. I mean, I have more relatives than I'm really in contact with. Uh-huh. If that makes sense, because my parents raised me in a city that. I mean, I have one aunt and one cousin, and all the rest were in other parts of the country and without very frequent contact.
Yeah.
So sort of it's been mostly nuclear from my experience. And of course, now I've got something like 70 cousins-in-law.
But they treat you well.
I haven't met all of them.
I haven't met all of them.
But they're all lovely.
They're all lovely.
Really lovely.
Those of you met. And every time you go on holiday, does it always entail going to a city or a town where a family member lives?
Just once so far, actually. Twice. One Valledupar and one Neiva.
And how did you find that? I mean, do you get a bit nervous going to meet a new family member or someone you haven't met yet, because you're going to come under the magnifying glass?
And actually, when we did both of those trips, it was before we lived here, a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
So everything was new, not just the person, but it was my first time in Colombia. It was my first time in South America. So every small detail was different, not just the person. I mean, in that point, I'm just really grateful that I can understand and speak Spanish and communicate.
Sure.
And because, I mean, everyone's really welcoming, warm. I mean, I've had these kind of experiences with my Colombian family that I haven't had with my British family.
Well, that's fantastic. That is amazing to hear. I mean, you've been taken into the bosom of the family.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you feel that. Should you encounter a problem? Let's say for example you get robbed or something like that. You could call your mother-in-law up and say, oh, you know, Doña Santa Maria, I've had a terrible day. Can I come round?
Yes. Yeah? No, I mean, I'm very welcome.
Oh, well, that's fine.
I was just laughing at the idea of me getting robbed.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen. But anyway, listen, we'll come back to this. This is something, again, because the whole thing about families is so important here in Colombia. So we're going to come back to this theme in the third, the final segment of the show. And so we're talking to Tara Days, who's a journalism student. She's doing a master's here at Los Andes University in Bogota. She's originally from the UK. And this is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. Don't go away.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control health care, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable health care, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Searching for freedom? The sustainable community in Chile is found at FreedomOrchard.com. Quiet, peaceful, and pristine are some of Freedom Orchard's outstanding features. Freedom Orchard offers recreational activities, organic farming, and self-sufficiency for water and electricity. Well-known Chile expert, free market economist, and radio host of Red Hot Chile, Dr. John Coben, is heading a team of developers, organic farmers, and seasoned professionals to make Freedom Orchard a reality. FreedomOrchard.com, for when you're serious about your freedom.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here on the Overseas Radio Network. And we've been talking to Tara Days, who's an English lady here, married to a Colombian, living in Colombia. She's now been here 6 months. So we're at the six-month watermark, where someone can pretty much, you know, say if they're having a good time or if they're not enjoying themselves. But she's studying for a master's in journalism, which, you know, hats off to her. I mean, she's studying in a language which is not her mother tongue. And we've been learning about, you know, what it's like to study as a foreigner in one of the top universities in Bogota, in Colombia. And of course, and we've moved on to the topic of the family, which of course is potentially the biggest sort of theme here in Colombia. Colombia is one happy family. You know, we're always, I say that because I live here, I've lived here for roughly 8 years now. But Colombia generally comes top of like this sort of happy planet index or whatever it is, happy things. And I'm sure it has something to do with the family as well. I mean, you know, they're always happy. Everything's happy. And you were saying it before that you know, you're well treated by the family. They're always nice. Yes. And, you know, so what can we attribute this to? This happiness, this family nature?
I think maybe it's been passed down through generations. I mean, it's not just certainly been invented, but I mean, I suppose it's one of those things. If everyone knew the secret, then
we'd all be
able
trying.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. For a country which internationally is slammed, this is, you know, a rare piece of good news out there. Obviously, out there you'd see it on the Huffington Post year after year about Colombia winning and so on and so on. So I think it's something that we need to accentuate and we need to share with the world. So with these, the few people that download this, Colombia is always a happy place. Okay. So we talk.
Definitely not traumatized.
You're not traumatized. Well, this is good. Now moving. So you we can see you here. You're a happy person. You've not had troubles here. We haven't talked about it. But have you had any difficulties moving to Colombia in from anything? I mean, the bureaucracy or just settling in. It's something that maybe an expat crowd out there, people who are thinking of moving to Colombia, might want to hear, you know, some advice you might want to impart. Ooh. I spring that on you there, but
I came here very sort of hopeful, starting my new life and all of that, you know, can't wait to get going. Mm-hmm. And pretty much from the beginning it was like, okay, things are taking a bit longer, just simple things like visas. Mm-hmm. You had one tiny mistake, so then you have to go, I don't know, 10 miles across the city to a different office to repeat a different piece of paperwork that you then have to go back to someone else. Sort of hours of your life just going in circles. That was sort of brought the beginning high down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
then you just sort of learn to pick up the rhythm, forget how life was in another place.
But you've lived in lots of other places. You've lived in other places. I mean, yes. Where else have you lived?
Well, in the UK, I lived in three cities, mm-hmm. and then I lived 3 months in Barcelona, mm-hmm. a year in Golden, Colorado, mm-hmm. and 4 months in Buenos Aires.
So, the Barcelona and the Buenos Aires links, let's say, tenuously helped you for Bogota, and tenuously because of the Latino, the Hispanic.
If not just
thing.
With vocabulary.
Yeah, and then, of course. But then, I guess living in Golden, Colorado, it's kind of, I think there's a sort of, a U.S. efficiency that, or a clinical way of doing bureaucracy that perhaps isn't affected here in Colombia.
What do you mean by clinical?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it is so much more formal with things, and perhaps explain it a little better.
I think there's a difference here, is that no one trusts anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So what there, you can just sign a piece of paper and go home. Mm-hmm. Here you have to get 6 people to stamp something saying that you really are who you say you are, just in case you were trying to pull the system. So that's sort of partly the difference. Is there, the idea is that everyone is just honest, and mm-hmm. obviously there are people that aren't and they get away with it, and here there are people that aren't, but it's sort of more of a system built around the idea that everyone's going to try and be dishonest, so you have to jump through 17 extra hoops.
And why would this be? Why would, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. but why do we think this is?
I think it's a culture right from when you're small children.
Mm-hmm.
That, for example, I mean, I don't have much contact with small children, so I can't really talk about their lives.
That's all right, but you were once a small child.
I'm in their driving lessons.
Uh-huh.
And so my instructor found out that I was English, because obviously it's a bit obvious,
mm-hmm.
With car-related vocabulary. So, as you know, we drive on the other side of the road, and here you have to get your driver's license, and then you're allowed to practice.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed on the road at all with anyone apart from a teacher. So I was saying, that's interesting, because for us, you can go out with your parents, and actually I was saying, in France, you have to do something like, I don't know, I'm just guessing, like maybe 200 hours of practice with whoever, mm-hmm. before you can get your license.
There's mandatory schooling.
And so
yeah.
The first question that the instructor asked me was, well, who's going to check? How do they verify that you're not just lying and you've just written on a piece of paper that you've done all of that practice? And I was, I don't know if I'm making up the details, but I think the idea is just that
you do it
because you're supposed to, and that's what you do.
And surely it's better to do it because it makes you a better driver, which reflects, of course, on the traffic here in Colombia and in Bogota.
Just the fact that my course is 30 hours of theory and 20 hours of practical.
Which I remember...
I mean, there's no guarantee that I'll pass.
I think there is a guarantee that you'll pass. I think there's a guarantee you'll pass because I think they just hand out the licenses at the end. I mean, one of the jokes about bad drivers is that, they just gave him the license. They regalaron el permiso, el pase, is that they gifted him the license. And I think there's more truth to it than humour. Mm-hmm. I'll give you the anecdote of when I got my Colombian license. I walked into this place in Chapinero, and I said, I want to get a Colombian license. And he went, study this book, and you'll do a driving test, because I can see you've got an English license and an American license, etc., etc., and do this test, and then the driving test, and then you'll get a license. And so I went out and did the driving test, and then I went, you've been driving for how many years? And I was like, well, 13 or 14 or 20 or whatever, however many years it's been. And then he said, that's fine. You obviously drive. And so I went back into the office, and they said, well, you'll be doing the test now. And the guy looked at me and went, but you're English, right? And I went, yes, I'm English. And he went, I know you guys are all responsible. The test costs 100,000 pesos, and I just paid it, and he just gave me the license. I didn't even do the test.
But so, after proving that you knew how to drive safely.
So, but I don't know the theory. I don't know Colombian theory says that at all.
Well, that's awful.
Yeah.
But it's mostly sort of sitting through videos of horrific car crashes and other such deterrents from bad driving that obviously don't work.
But I think you need to get you know, you said we drive on the left. We do drive on the left in England. Everybody knows that we drive on the opposite side to most of the world. But I got pulled over for overtaking on a yellow line on a highway, which everybody does in Colombia. And I was stuck.
No, I don't plan on doing so.
Well, when you're stuck on behind a milk float and all you want to do is get to your destination, which is 14 hours away, you start overtaking and things. In fact, a frequent guest on this show, Kevin Howlett of Colombia Politics, mm-hmm. happened to be in the car, and we got pulled over, and the guy starts, and I could see he didn't want to give me the ticket. I can see that the policeman was actually looking for a bribe. I can see that. And he walked out and he goes, so how long have you been here? And I went, well, 6 months. It was a barefaced lie because I'd been here more than 7 years. And then he went, well, you know, where are you from? I went, England. And he goes, they don't have laws about overtaking on your yellow line in your country? I went, well, actually, we drive on the left in my country. And he laughed so hard that he left me off. let me off, because, of course, I was driving on the left as I overtook. But anyway, that's how I got away with it. But then I
batting your eyelids. And
well, I didn't have to bat my eyelids in that one. That's more going to be, one of your aces in the pack when you get pulled over. How has it been? Let's say, are you going to feel equipped to take on the Colombian roads? Yeah, once you've got this license.
Well, so far I've had two lessons, and they've both been in a car park.
Okay.
Driving in and out of cones, reverse parking, not even using the accelerator.
Okay.
So I haven't actually had the chance
to go on the
road. To be able to answer that question, other than, let's just say, I got my first driving license in 2005 and then didn't drive again. I'm that passionate about driving.
But what's made you take up driving?
Partly the question is who.
Who's made you take up driving then?
I live, I think, about 10 miles away from the university,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, I went to Bradford to go to my original university so that I could live 10 minutes walk away.
Mm.
That would have been my original technique.
Mm-hmm.
But here it's sort of, you have to, you know, spend an hour on the Transmilenio. My classes finish at 8 p.m. So,
it's a bit late, yeah. Isn't it?
And just to enjoy life, like, be able to go here and there rather than sort of have to plan everything by routes. And then, I mean, taxis are a gamble.
Yes. Yeah, there are many problems with taxis that we can talk about at a different time. But
Let's not talk about taxis.
But it would just give you a
freedom,
a liberty, freedom. But it will also shave years off your life in stress. Or are you a stressed person at all? No, I'm a stressed person.
I'm generally not. I think other kinds of things make me stressed.
Okay,
but then I've never really been a driver. And specifically not in Bogota, so we'll have to come back to that.
Well, yeah, I think we'll have you back on in a few months.
Yeah.
We've been hit by a bus in our car.
What?
And drove into the back of us, one of the new blue buses,
You realise my parents are going to be listening to this.
Are they coming over to Colombia anytime soon?
To be confirmed.
So they're still waiting to hear good reports to come back. So, no, everything's wonderful and rosy and
everyone's
bright.
Everyone's really busy. I mean, if they came at any point in the next few months, I wouldn't be able to say hello because I've got so much work with the university.
Mm-hmm.
So, sort of.
So, but I mean, in your sojourn here in the last 6 months, you've been studying full time. You've got lots of homework, but you have had times to get out and about. And I do know that you're off shortly on a trip away. Where are you going?
On Saturday morning, we're going for a romantic weekend to Paipa, which is apparently just a few hours outside of Bogota. For the thermales, like hot springs.
Curative hot springs. And so I've never been to Piper. You'll have to tell us all about it.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's curative hot springs with the sulfurous smells that will make your aches and pains go away.
Sulfur was supposed to smell quite awful.
It does smell like rotten
right.
eggs.
but
it comes through from the volcanic earth. So it's where Piper's what 3.5-4 hours from Bogota, something like that. Well, there we go. You'll be sharing hot springs with Bogota.
Yeah.
But you can always go to VLA, which is close, or up to Mongi, which is also close.
Mongi
is one
also
of
also not heard of that.
It's continually named as Colombia's prettiest town.
Really?
It's you'd leave Piper and go up the mountains a bit further to Maungi. So there you go.
That's the thing. There's so much to explore, and without a car, it's a lot harder to just get away for a weekend.
This is true.
We're borrowing the in-laws' car.
Well, there you go. You do get on well with the in-laws. So, and on your way out, if you go past the mines, the salt mines of in Boyaca, you know, passing first Zipaquirá, which is in Cundinamarca, but then you could pass Nemocón. In Nemocón, this is a thing I remembered just now, Antonio Banderas is filming at the moment a movie about the Chilean miners.
Really?
It's called The 33. There we go. That's what I want to say. Did you know
small,
that?
Small, tiny fact. I have actually seen him before, hanging out of a hotel room window in Malaga.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, then you can just drop by.
He might not recognise me, but...
Antonio Banderas is in Nemocón.
Thanks for the tip-off.
For all of you who are interested in that little fact.
I didn't know that.
There we go. Well, we've been talking to Tara Tays, Tara from Yorkshire, from Norwich, studied in Yorkshire, now living in Bogota, master's candidate for journalism here. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you. Lovely to see you.
Yeah, very nice to hear from you too as well. This has been Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. I hope you've enjoyed this show.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.